defense's performance against the Vikings, what particularly stood out to you, and what do you think you guys can carry over?
Well, we hope we can carry over the number one, the effort, the ability to stop the run early, get him into long yarded situations, able to rush the passer, keep the quarterback in the pocket, and from extending plays and being sound in the back end. We weren't perfect. We mistakes are made in all phases, but it's something that I think that we we can build on. That's what we're attempting to do with each and every practice, Rich.
Jay seems really excited about being able to move around the pocket a little bit. Is there something about him fundamentally that you like when
I think every quarterback likes to move and change the passing spot, not be sitting in the same place. We came out of the bye week and we looked at it and have done some things to allow him to do that. I mean, we have the ability within the framework of the game plan to get that done. The running game certainly helps when you can run the football. It helps complement things to help you get outside the pocket. And certainly it has a residual effect on the pass rush to be able to move the quarterback around and enables him to extend plays as well. So, it's something that, we've looked into. We got a little bit of it done last week, and we'll continue to move forward that way.
When you self-scouted at the bye, did you find that was your spot kind of the same all the time?
Well, we did almost exclusively drop back or play action passes in the pocket. So we had some movement going on, but, we touched on it last week where we did get some, create some advantage for us, getting him outside. We got a few balls into Marty and so forth. So, that's a good thing. And again, when you move the passing spot, that certainly can help.
Mark, what are some strengths of the Tampa team that might not be indicative?
Yeah, I think that we talked about this today that, when you look at them defensively, they've got penetrators inside. Watch the third down tape. They're hitting the quarterback. They're pushing the pocket. McDonald and McCoy certainly get edges. Johnson on the outside has done a very good job. So they're rushing the passer. They've done a good job of creating some turnovers. The guys have seen their ability to turn the ball over. Lovey's and Leslie's defenses have always done that. Their emphasis on knocking the ball out and tip balls and things like that. So those are very evident defensively that is all part of, and the relentless play. They're playing very hard. And then offensively, you see the big playability of Vincent and particularly Evans. They've got a couple running backs who run hard. So they're establishing themselves offensively. They're overcoming the fact that they've really done it without their coordinator. Jeff's been out. They're starting to make some big plays. So, we're not looking at records. We're looking at players and scheme and talent. And I just showed them New Orleans today. It's 31-31 right up until the end. So, they've shown the ability to play with anybody. And they're finding more about themselves each and every week. And you can tell they're feeling very good about themselves after their very, very effective play last week in Washington.
As we talk about Jay moving around a little bit, what are the most important mechanical points to a quarterback throwing on the run?
I'm not going to get into a symposium, but obviously on the on the run you're cutting off the field. There's fundamental things that you do, throwing the football in terms of being an accurate passer. I'm not going to go all into that, but there are movement skills that quarterbacks have. I think Jay showed that the other day, being able to deliver a touch ball over the top of guys. He's done always a good job of hitting the crossers and things like that. So. We hit an outside lane throw to Q last week. So, just being able to move the ball around and make all the throws on the move accurately. And it's just being fundamentally sound with, scoring up your body and doing those kinds of things. Well, I mean, we all saw we talked about it coming out that we wanted to, again, start moving our targets around a little bit more. We got the targets up in those areas. He was able to, get the one-on-one matchups. He was able to, win the contested throws, run the bubbles and do the kinds of things he does. He's an explosive runner at the line of scrimmage, and we got some positive plays there with good perimeter blocking. So I think that, what we see, we saw to him is what we expect, when he has opportunities to go up and make the plays, which he did, and make some first downs and take a short throw and make a big play out of it. You know, I think it's just all about playing. I mean, he's a tremendously hard worker in practice. He works on his skill sets. He's high football intelligence. It's just a matter of just continue to play, opportunities to make plays, giving him, you know, enough targets where he can have opportunities to do good things on the field.
Mark, how much more difficult will it be, if at all, to recreate that one-on-one matchup, what, you know, the receiver versus quarterback situation you saw against Lovie's defense?
Well, you know, that question will be answered on Sunday. They've played a lot of man-to-man coverage, more than you think. I mean, you look at where they've been defensively, and they're moving man-to-man coverage around significantly, and not just on first and second down, but on third down. So we'll look for those opportunities, and it looks to me like they're doing a little bit more of it, feeling comfortable with their guys covering man-to-man. Now, will that change? It didn't change. That's the way it was over the last 3 or 4 weeks, that they have lined up against some top receivers and played a man-to-man on third down in all situations, and on first and second down as well. So, we'll see how that goes this Sunday.
But after seeing the success, when teams look at you and they see the success teams have had kind of zoning you versus what Minnesota did, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All I can tell you is what I've seen. It doesn't matter who they faced or the types of receivers. They faced some size and some speed. They haven't backed down from doing the things that they want to do, and that could be significant because they're practicing them against every day, big receivers, and they're feeling better about doing those types of things because it's definitely part of what they do. And if it goes the other way, you know, we've got to go the distance. We gotta find ways to catch the ball and break tackles and do the kinds of things that you do against zone defenses that play you deep and make you throw everything underneath.
Go ahead.
Now, even in camp, I know after a couple of practices, Martellus would spend time with Jay. It looked like working to get him comfortable throwing, just realizing I'm 6'6 and throw it high.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that most quarterbacks are comfortable doing? Josh McCown seemed more comfortable sometimes just letting the height of his receivers work. Is that something that Jay is inclined to do, or is he more wanting to?
No, I think Jay has the ability to put it anywhere he wants, and depending on how the defender's playing him is where the ball's going to go, you know, on each specific play. And that's all relative, John, to, you know, the type of defender it is and his positioning relative to the coverage. So I don't think it's something Josh wanted to do more than Jay or Jay does more than Josh. I just think it's just a natural occurrence during the course of a game when that specific route is on and that type of technique is being played.
Mark, how pleased have you been with the
cohesion? A little bit.
How pleased have you been with the cohesion of your offensive line, moving guys in and out with you?
Well, it's never bothered us. I mean, we went a whole season and didn't have to make a move. And, you know, I've said it many times in this room, we feel comfortable with our guys and their ability to move around. They're close. They're great communicators. And so as they've moved around, we've just kind of, you know, kept on going ourselves. We haven't tried to protect anybody or helped any particular player out. We feel, you know, good that they can go in there and establish themselves and play well at their specific position.
And how has your staff balanced the two games in such a rapid succession? Have people on your staff turned their attention towards?
I think what we've done is we have a plan. It's the same plan we put in last year. Relative to how we work, everybody's assigned to different things, but our focus is on one thing. We've got to stay, terribly focused on, narrowly focused on the Bucs. Everything's in place to handle next week. We've got guys who've done this for many years, and we did it last year. But right now, our entire focus as a staff and as a team is certainly on this one game. The only game that really is in our sights right now are the Bucs. Yeah, most defenses do. I mean, we all try to do the same things, and certainly he's, you know, got a deserved reputation for doing that. We do it every week. Our focus every day is ball security, you know, taking care of the football and making sure we get people around the ball offensively and defensively. And certainly, as with every week, but just as much with this week, Peggy, it's of the utmost priority, certainly.
Mark, how much of a
Matt talked about how the way that Lovie plays and keeps everything underneath, that it's not only a test of the patience of the team itself as far as execution, but also of the play callers. So what type of challenges do you see that type of defense?
There's no doubt you've got to call the game as you see it. You got to put your team in the best position to do that. You got to be communicating with your team to understand what's going on during the course of the game. And, we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, there's a lot of different ways that they could play the game because it's in their repertoire. There's no doubt about it. They're doing things differently week in and week out, and doing some of the same things every week. We'll see how they play us, but I think our guys are well in tune to the different ways this could go in terms of how we're going to have to move the football and push it down the field.
Do you feel your offense as it's comprised as a 35-40 point game rate and just kind of break out?
We're day to day trying to. I mean, we've left a lot of points on the field. We did it last week. We recognize that. It certainly has not been what we've wanted it to be or what we would expect it to be. So our focus has been just to really focus in on trying to get better and do the things necessary so we can stay on the field as long as we can, but not just stay on the field, but finish drives and score. And we have not done that. We got to take responsibility for that. That starts with me. We certainly feel like we're an offense that can do those types of things. We've shown that we can, but it all starts Sunday again, and we still got Friday practice, and that's just how we've approached it. We've made up our minds that we're just going to work on it daily and go out Sunday and try to score as much as we can. But most importantly, we're going out to win the football game, and we'd like to do both. Certainly.
Jordan Mills, please.
He'll be day to day. He's day to day right now. He got a little work today. We'll see where he is tomorrow.
You expect Mariani to be the return man?
He's getting work. He's getting work, and he'll continue to get work tomorrow. I'll have a little better feeling after tomorrow's practice. We'll see where we are. I'm not going to say I'm going to make a commitment at that point in time, but he'll have another day of work, and we'll see where we are.
Do you have a better sense on first today than you did
yesterday? Don't. I don't. We're optimistic. It was nothing serious. We'll see where he is. And he got twisted up a little bit, and we'll see where he is tomorrow.
How hard is it, how big of a challenge is it to preach to your team not to look at the record? It just doesn't matter what tempo the record is. How do you do that?
We know that when you play a team, it's not about their record. Everybody is 0-0 when we play them. It really is. All we got to do is look at the tape and know that these guys are just like us. You can see it in their effort. You can see it in their skill level, their talented team. We know that, and we throw everything out and just say we're playing this. We're going to play everybody straight up, and on that day we're both 0-0. And we got to do that to have the respect that every team deserves coming in, and to continue to create an edge and build an edge towards being in the right emotional state as we move towards the game.
Just time for one more.
Mark, there's been some talk about a 53-man team-only meeting pre-Vikings. What are your thoughts on the guys coming together and taking that accountability?
Our guys, we got a close football team. They're highly motivated, and they want to do well. That's really it from that standpoint in terms of, what they do on their own with each other. I think the things that they're doing are the right things in the right mindset. I think all the things that they've done down there have been extremely positive in trying to continue to, build their energy and in doing what we're doing each and every day. So all those things are good things.